Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am your host, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the line. Kwajalein, are you there, honey?
I am. Hello, hello.
All right. Well, the topic we're talking about on today, ladies and gentlemen, is how to protect your marriage / relationship against emotional fantasies. Daily around the world, married couples and couples are falling apart. There once was a time when this was frowned upon, whether it be in churches, long-term marriages, etc. But nowadays, no place is safe anymore. This epidemic has grown to the point of where it is now too hard to even count. Husbands and wives' bedrooms are no longer sacred. Engagements are being violated before anyone says, "I do." This has all come to the surface because of an emotional connection / fantasy of wanting their spouse or significant other to be or carry themselves like so-and-so. So how do we combat this epidemic? What can be a preventative measure to keep this from occurring? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight, Tuesday, August 9th, 2016, Eastern Time. Again, I am your host, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife, Kwajalein, on the line, and we're going to go ahead and begin opening up the lines. I'll open all the lines up, and then I'll call your last four, and then you just let us know how you heard about the show, or you can say a couple of words. It's perfectly fine. My first caller, in again, 1398. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. How's everybody? This is Miss Brenda.
Hey, Miss Brenda.
Hey, Miss Brenda.
Hey, baby.
How you doing?
I'm better.
Well, all right. Well, praise God. Good to hear. That's always good to hear. Well, you know,
yeah,
our line, the line is going to be open. Go ahead. I'm
all
sorry.
All right. Thank
I'm
you,
sorry.
Darling. No, I want to say no, I'm going to tell you thank
you. Oh, yes, ma'am.
All right.
Our line will definitely be open for you to be able to chime in, Ms. Brenda.
All right. Thank you, babe.
All right. All right. Next caller we have, Inigan 8225. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone tonight? This is Keisha.
Great. How you doing, Keisha?
Hey, Keisha.
Doing great, doing great. How are you guys tonight?
Well, we good. We good. We're hoping that this topic is it's a much-needed topic, so we're hoping we get a lot of mass participation on it tonight. That's what we're hoping for. In the name of Jesus. All right, so our next caller, I'm sorry, Keisha, you know your line is always open. Chime in when you're ready to chime in. All right, let's see what we have next. Okay, caller in again, 6770. You're on the air.
Hello, okay.
Hello, Pastor Paige. How you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. Go wash
How you doing Hello. On tonight, madam? All right. That sounds like I hear my brother back there. Y'all know the line's open for y'all. So, No, you're fading in and out. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's the signal. I do apologize.
Oh, it's all good. But, yes, ma'am, you know your line is definitely be open, and so we look forward to hearing you chime in on tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, caller in again, 2488. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, mama, how you doing?
I'm good, and I hope everybody is too.
Yes, ma'am. We're blessed and highly favored in the Lord.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Man, how you doing?
Well, good. Good to know everybody's up and about.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. It sure is good to hear. Well, Mom, you know your line is always open, and you chime in when you're ready to chime in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Calling ending in 5359, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good evening, everyone. This is Jonell.
Hey, Jonell. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you for calling in on tonight again. And, you know, we're going to have your line open. So if you have anything to chime in on with us for on tonight, you're definitely welcome to do so, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, calling in again, 1844. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Pastors Kenny and Quadlin. How y'all doing?
Mish, what's going on?
Nothing.
Hey, Mish and everybody else.
Hey, Pastor.
Sorry, I'm getting the kids.
Well, Mish, you know your line is open on tonight, so, you know, if you have anything to add to the topic, you definitely are welcome to do so.
All right.
All right. And then my last caller that I just had call in just a minute ago here, 4620, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. I hope all is well. I apologize for that. I had an important phone call that came through.
Oh, no, you don't have to apologize. You good, Miss Faye. You good. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Faye.
Hey, Quadron.
All right. All right. Well, hey, you know, as usual, you know that line is open. So if you have anything to add to the topic on tonight, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, ladies. Well, I have majority ladies on the line tonight. Well, ladies, I'm glad you all called in on tonight. And again, our topic is how to protect your marriage/relationship against emotional fantasies. All right, so there will, in fact, be some things that, you know, and I'm sure many of you can relate to or agree with when you're dating. You know, there might be some things that you just might not measure up with when it comes to your significant other, the person you're dating, or even your spouse. Like my wife. My wife, I think she's an excellent parent. And I kind of fall short of that sometimes, you know. Or she cooks well, and I cook pretty decent. But there's some dishes that she can cook, y'all, that, you know, hey, Kenny just can't cook, you know. And I look forward to her when she does it. So I fall short, and we all
and
have fallen.
And vice versa.
So we all fall short sometimes, and we might not measure up. But there are often times where men and women both tend to have a problem with comparing one another to the men or women they have encountered. And, you know, they have things like, why can't he or she be like so-and-so? Why is he or she not as charming as so-and-so at work? Or why is he or she not as intelligent as my professor at college? You know, I go to college and I can have intellectual conversation with my professor, but then I come home, you know, to my fiance or my spouse, and then, you know, we don't have those deep conversations that I'd be looking for us to have, like when I need help with homework or something. Now, I'm just shooting examples. Of course, that's not me, so just please bear with me. All right, or you have questions like he or she is not as spiritually endowed. Endowed means to be able to provide some quality or talent. You might go to Bible study, you might be able to sit down, and you can talk for hours with your pastor. You know, and it could be a pastor of the opposite sex. Could be a male talking to a female pastor. Could be a female talking to a male pastor, and they getting that conversation they need, that intellectual adult conversation they need, and they feel good about being able to talk to them. But then they tend to come home and they tend to rub these things off on their significant other or their spouse, or even, you know, women have this all the time where it occurs where a man has decided to send a woman flowers at work. And then a woman go home and she 38 hot with her significant other or her husband for the rest of the day because he don't ever send her no flowers to work. Ladies, gentlemen, if you're on the line and you're listening on tonight, this right here is what can cause some issues in your home, right? And I'm going to pause for the calls right now because I have a new caller that just came in. Let's see here. Caller ending in 8277. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello, everyone. This is Leandra.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, ma'am?
How you doing, ma'am?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. All right. Well, you know your line is definitely open on tonight. So if you have any topic, subject that you want to talk about, according to the topic, please feel free to do so. I got an echo.
All right.
Honey, you hear an echo?
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay. All right. I'm a.
I don't hear it now.
All right. You don't hear it now?
No.
Okay. Good. Good. Praise the Lord. All right. So as I was saying, you know, this right here is a topic right here that we need to talk about because it happens all the time where you have men and women who are both in need of an emotional boost, if you will, from their spouse. Sometimes they may not get that hug or that kiss that they need throughout the day. But then they may not get that sweet conversation that they're looking for from their significant other. But then when they go to work, you got so-and-so opening the door for them. You got so-and-so holding their hand, making sure they get up the stairs because they have on heels, or helping them get down the stairs because they have on heels. Whereas when she go home, her and hubby go out, or her and her fiancé go out, and he's ahead of her. He opens the door, gets in the car, and waits on her to get in the car. Now, I myself fall short of this, y'all. I can't say I'm the best husband in the world, but I do fall short of opening the door for my honey sometimes. And she'll make me aware of it, but now she kind of has slacked off from it a little bit and reminded me. Sometimes I think we just be so tied up with trying to get kids in the car and make sure kids buckle up that we just both just, you know, are independently driven, you know. So she has the west side of the car. I have the east side of the car. And we just make sure that we got our kids lined up and in the car and ready to go. But this, in fact, like I was saying before, is completely unfair to one another, right? And here's why it's unfair. It's unfair because, see, when you're comparing yourself, when you're comparing your spouse or your significant other to so-and-so, you're really only getting to see one side of so-and-so. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to our spouse, our fiancés, right, we wake up to our wives without makeup, her hair ain't done, breath stanky. Husband, he wakes up, he got a scruffy beard, need a good haircut and a shave. We also witness, like I said, the morning breath. We witness the gassy snorer, right? And we also see where clothes are being left behind on the floor, toilet seats being left up, toothpaste smeared all over the counter. But we see many things that other people don't. So, ladies and gentlemen, on tonight, if I may add, And I may challenge you when it comes to you comparing. Please make sure that you're not comparing yourselves, even when you start dating. That you're not comparing your date or your spouse or your significant other to someone that you may have encountered, and you saying like, "Wow, this person is perfect. He has a perfect smile. He's always smiling. He always smells good, clean shaven. He always got a nice haircut. You know, he got waves in his head. Yada yada yada." The list goes on and on, because sometimes this right here can turn into not only a fantasy, but it can also come into that realm of lust, because now you're so overwhelmed with wanting your significant other to be like so and so that even when you're trying to have intimate time with so and with your wife or your husband, you're thinking about how so and so smells. Ooh, he smells so good today, or he looks so good today. So I'm gonna open up the lines right now, and before we continue on, and if anybody has anything. Right now, the floor is yours. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. I think that it's important to point out that when we are doing that, when we are comparing our spouses to other people, what we're doing is, in my opinion, we're indirectly saying, you are not good enough.
Absolutely.
You're not good enough in this area. You know, you're not good enough, especially if we're always, you know, we're always doing it. And no one wants to feel like they're not good enough. So if you're telling someone they're not, you know, you should be like this because he does this or he does that or she does this or she does that and you're not doing this, and you're thinking your spouse is going to start doing it, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the complete opposite.
You're absolutely right. That's good. Go ahead.
you know, there's a way to do and to say anything. Like you said, you know, we all have our things that we fall short of. I fall short of parenting too, just like you. You know, there are dishes that you cook better than me. There are a lot of things that you do better than me. But we have to remember when we are in a relationship that we're there to complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there may be things that you do better than me or things that I may, you know, have down a little more than you or whatever. But still, you know, we're there to complement each other. And when we marry our spouses, you know, we do take each other for better or for worse. Now, when we say those vows, sometimes you don't really, you know, you saying them, but you don't really understand the in-depthness of that sometimes, you know, what that really, really means until you get into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always like to say, you know, people get so excited about weddings, and weddings are beautiful, love weddings, but I tell you what, there's life after that beautiful wedding, after all those thousands of dollars that you don't spend on that one day. You know, after that, that's when it really begins. That's, you know, that's when the marriage really, really begins. That's when it's time to say, okay, you know, I'm taking these vows serious, even though my husband may not wear the same cologne as whoever, Jack
mm-hmm.
or whoever, that's just
mm-hmm.
the name, babe. You know, or whatever. And so we just have to make sure that we are not putting our spouses down. We're not making them feel like they're not good enough, you know, making them feel insecure, and that's something else. A lot of times we go into the marriage and we already have insecurities.
Yep.
And so doing that, that's not helping to build your spouse up. We should support each other and build each other up, and that is not helping in any way. Okay, that's all I had for right now.
Awesome, my dear. Well, thank you very much for that. That was great. That was right on. That was spot on right there. Do I have any other caller on the air tonight that has any other thing to say? If you do, please feel free to do so. The lines are open, ladies and gentlemen.
Pastor Kenny, can you hear me?
I sure can, madam.
Okay, I know my phone goes in and out. I did want to say something on this. We run the risk of when we start fantasizing, because I know that, you know, the word fantasy is something that, of course, you can't have, but we run the risk of when we're intimate with our spouses, what is your mind thinking about?
Come on.
You know, you run the risk of when you're trying to place yourself with another a person that is not attached to you, that God didn't give to you, you run the risk of committing adultery. You know, that's the risk. And people don't look at it like that. I'm not,
right.
You know, we as a joke, you know, as, you know, back in Germany, GHOF, when one of the men would do something, you know, all the women would be like, "Bae, such and such did such and such." And y'all be like, "Oh, now I got," you know, that's one thing to have fun with it. Because, you know, everybody steps up their game, and then there's flowers in the car, flowers card in the candy. So all of you all step up your game, and it's fun. That's a fun way, because we all know where that boundary lies. We're not comparing as in, "Hey, Cedric, Pastor Kenny Bart, Pastor Parker, and, you know, McDonald's, and you didn't bring me nothing." It's not, you know, we know where that boundary lies. But if
right.
you go and you run that risk of having that, which goes into a show that you did prior, your person being of the opposite sex, you run the risk of having an emotional affair.
Come on.
So
look at you.
Are those boundaries
in my
that
brain
you
right
are
now.
Willing to, right. Is that a boundary you're willing to cross? Because what ends up happening is that when your partner, your husband or your wife, will want to become intimate, you're having headaches, or you're closing your eyes, and they're like, "Wow, it was different." But all the while, you're thinking about that person that you want to put in place of your spouse.
Mm.
And to me, that runs the risk of having iniquity or having
right.
an emotional affair, and it does too much damage. So I'd rather take what I see. I know that he you know, what his breath smell like in the morning, and he's still mine. It was a reason that God joined us together to become one. And like Pastor Kwajalein, like you said, you know, we do things, sometimes you do things better. Well, here's my thing on that. Sometimes Cedric does things better, and sometimes I do. However, it takes two to make things great. It takes those two to become one, to have our own perfection. Not that we're perfect, but we have our own perfection. And so I personally don't have time with 4 kids and 5 grandkids to be emotionally tied up with anybody. But I know what you're talking about because I've seen that happen and people withdraw from that marriage. So you have to ask yourself, is this a safe thing to do?
Absolutely. And I want to, if I may throw a curveball in there, but I want to definitely go back to what you were saying earlier, Pastor Michelle, when you said that your mindset is different when it comes to the intimacy. So let's look at it like this: your husband, y'all done seen these Lifetime movies where hubby done went out of town on a business trip, he had a job offer or something he had to take care of out of town. Okay, so now you have more time to work at do things at work, and you're fully engrossed with getting things at work, and you just so happen to work late, and now you don't have dinner, but then you know one of your coworkers decides to invite you over for dinner because you know hey he cooked enough and he want to make sure that you get some dinner. He calls himself trying to look out for you, but now you see this as an involvement in your emotional status to where you're like, wow, I wish my husband would do this for me, right? And then so now when hubby gets back and hubby like, hey, babe, we're going to go out to eat tonight, now you got an attitude with him. Now you got an attitude with him because he didn't offer to cook for you like your coworker did, like so-and-so did. So see, here's that emotional attachment, that fantasy that you have that's going on, right? Oftentimes, y'all, perception is reality in many people's world. And what I mean by that is, you know, from the outside looking in, if I'm walking up and I see my wife giggling and laughing with a male, you know, the natural me, the flesh would be like, yo, what in the world is he talking about and telling her so good that she laughing, you know? I'm like, yo, like, what's going on over here? What you doing? So I come over there and I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the conversation. Like, I want to know what y'all talking about that got you giggling so hard. Because you don't giggle that hard with me when we together. So I want to know what's going on. So a lot of time that perception.
But I really do. I really do when he makes me laugh. I'm just saying.
So that perception is a lot of people's reality. So like you said earlier, Pastor Michelle, it tears the marriage. And what I want to say is I believe that each and every time this unfair comparison is being made about one another, it only breeds and nourishes illusion. It gives you this false sense of hope or illusion. Like, you know, you've been married to your husband for, you know, 15-plus years, and you know your husband's and you are, y'all pretty much set in your ways, but now you got this new person that's come onto the job and they're treating you differently and they're making you feel like your husband used to make you feel. But now you, it's not that you become common, but you know after a while you do become common to one another because you're set in a pattern. I know every day I get up I got to make sure I'm constantly doing things to make sure that my family is taken care of. And then some of us get emotionally involved with our jobs and things of that nature. And what I mean by it creates and breeds and nourishes illusion, this also is where lusting comes about. This is where disappointments come about, emotional setbacks come about, and then the fall of man or woman can occur. Now, these fantasies can even be similar, just as you mentioned earlier, Pastor Michelle, which is why I like, man, you right in my brain right now, which is these fantasies can become similar to one having an affair. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? You've been married with your husband for however many years, but you know at lunch, you're looking forward to lunch because so-and-so normally brings you some fresh cookies or so-and-so brings you this or y'all get to sit down, y'all get to have a good conversation, you know, get to talk. So now husband is wanting to go out to eat, but you don't want to go out with him. Here's what those emotional setbacks and this distraction and these disappointments come about. And then the following things may also occur. You have the lack of sexual attraction to your spouse or your significant other. You have that lack of physical touch. Now you don't want to touch them because so-and-so has given you this touch and brought back those old memories from how you how things used to be, and now you're appreciating it. You're trying not to fall, but yet at the same time you're saying, man, somebody really sees me, you know, because a lot of times women and men, right, from what I've talked about, what I've talked throughout my military career, a lot of times the spouses seem like they're invisible. They seem like, okay, I know I'm a woman, I know I'm married, but don't nobody else pay attention to me. And then the men think the same thing, but we shouldn't even be thinking about things like that. I'm attracted to my wife. I love my wife, and that's the only woman I'm concerned about paying attention to me. Now, then you have leaving your spouse feeling less than or even thrown away. So does anybody have anything to add to the topic on tonight?
Well, I do. I have a question. So
sure.
What do you do if, okay, say, for example, you realize that you have a certain situation outside of the home that has made you realize, or even you realized before, that there is a disconnect within mm-hmm. your marriage. So there's like an actual problem that you're having within your marriage, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're observing these things. Say it was, you know, things that your husband used to do that he don't necessarily do, that he doesn't necessarily do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or your wife, she just kind of let herself go. You know, how do you approach that? How do you say, you know, you're looking at this other person, you're like, dang, my husband used to do that. He doesn't do that anymore, and that's a problem for me. How do you approach that?
Oh, that's a good question. Ladies, do I have any lady that can add to that, that can answer that question on tonight? Because I'm outnumbered tonight.
I sure would like to take a stab at answering that for her.
Amen.
Is that Keisha?
It is.
Uh-huh.
Hi. I've been married for 23 years, and I have encountered that around about the 15-year mark. Actually, it came at the 5, the 7, the 10, the 15. It comes. It just comes and fails. And it's just the truth, where either I'm not fully satisfied, or I'm not satisfied with myself, which makes me think he's not satisfied. Been there, done that. And the most important thing you can do, no matter how embarrassing it is, you have to communicate. You have to talk. You have to
mm-hmm.
say what you're feeling, because you don't want to give no place for the enemy to allow thoughts to be up, to be rooted, to take root in your head. Like my mama used to say, don't let the devil rent space in your head for free or nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot allow, you have to communicate and say, listen, I remember there was a time that you would get up every Saturday morning freshly shaved. Now Saturday and Sunday, you don't even take a bath. You know, can you wash? You know, you're going to have to talk about those things. You know, my husband is very finicky. He doesn't like, he would rather for you to put on a scarf than to have your hair all over the place. Well, I got comfortable with, let me just throw on the scarf. I don't have to work today. But then I start thinking about it. You know what? I get dressed up to go to work so other people can look at me, and they're, oh, you're so pretty. And then I come home just to wash that off so he can look at me plain. No, I'm going to get up and do like I've been doing. Do I do it every day? Absolutely not. But I do it more often than not, because my mom, again, whatever you did to get them is what you do to keep them. And so there's just certain, you have to just remember certain things. Even as we get older, you know, we were together in our teenage years. Now we're in our 40s, and things just don't work like they used to. And you got to compensate for that. You have to make up with the more cuddling and the extra word. And the last thing that I would say to you is that I'll say this, because this is a Christian-based show. You pray what you want out of that husband or that wife, whoever. You ask God to return some of those things back that you so desire, and still talk to him about it. You remember when you wore this cologne, and I remember when you wore this color looks so good on you. Go out and buy that color that you like so much for them. They'll wear it. So So it's all about the communication. Where there's no communication, the enemy can come in. And just like Pastor Kenny said, you that coworker thing, he's just, you know, making dinner for you because your husband ain't home. But see, the enemy always comes very cunning, and he comes with
mm-hmm.
things that look, taste good, feel good, and smell good. And sin does not hurt. Sin feels great. And so we have to remember our boundaries. God gave us certain specifications as a husband should conduct himself as well as a wife. And so talk. You don't make it 40 years in marriage without communicating. Because me, I'm just not going to settle. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to remind you of what I do and what I don't. One of my dear friends would tell her husband, she would talk and talk and talk and talk. And this is not the answer, and I told her, but I'm making a point. She would talk and talk and talk and tell her husband what she didn't like or how she was feeling, you know, neglected. And then she says, okay, I've been talking to you for 6 months. I am going to cheat on you next week if this doesn't change. It's not funny, but it is. And she was so serious about it, and it never happened. And then one day she kept speaking it into existence that it was going to happen, that somebody caught her eye. And now, now years later, that she's divorced that husband and been married, you know, again, she wished she could go back and do things over again. You know, so we have to be very, very careful of what we say, what we let in our eyesight, what we allow to ponder in our brain, and what you need to do with your spouse is to talk. Everything is solvable, except for if he beat and try to kill you. I ain't talking about that. But all the other stuff, those are things that we can work out and that we can pray. And listen, I'm going to tell you, all ladies, listen to me. Pastor Kenny, I love you, and Cedric is at work. Your deacon is at work, but I'm going to say this.
Yes, ma'am.
It takes a lot for them to become the emotional creatures that we need them to be. You are going to have to start a certain level of dialogue in order to bring them in. That is just what it is. People fit women. Women, we get upset when we're having this conversation and we done said 4,000 words and they've only said 100. Now you ain't talking. No, they have to process things differently. And sometimes if they say they don't know what to say, they really don't know what to say. They truly just don't know what to say. We are talkers. Unless you are like Pastor Kenny or Pastor Knight, you are preachers. Preachers talk by nature. But most of the time in his natural life of just being Kenny, it takes some processing. Because that's just how men are. So don't take it as, oh, you don't love me, you're not listening, you ain't saying nothing. No, you thinking about something else. No, they just process. So let's not beat up one another. That is why we have, you know, females, we got our girlfriends that we can talk to and chit-chat with. But make sure you get the ones that's going to uphold you in prayer. That's not going to leave him. No. Make sure you have the right people around you and run in the and look. If you see infidelity coming, run. But what I would say to you is communication. Communication, consideration, and then it can be corrected.
Okay.
I like that. That was good. That was deep. I had to take note. I wasn't writing. I couldn't write fast enough. That's good. You gave me some good information.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I needed that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So y'all see just how easy it is for the enemy to gain a little access into your life, into your marriage, into your relationship. And now all hell breaks loose literally in your life. And this is why we're seeing so many of these couples getting divorced these days, right? Because they didn't see the fall coming. They didn't see the fall coming, but some of them like I said before, right? Emotional. Women are emotional people, whereas men are visual people, right? So if a woman is when that woman started dating that man and she used to dress nice and smell good, what have you, And then she stops doing that, and now she got the soccer mom appearance. No offense to the soccer moms if you're listening, but she walked around with a sweatpants on. She got a hair in a ponytail. She ain't wearing no makeup. She ain't wear earrings, no jewelry, none of that. Okay, but then now his eyes caught on this coworker at work, right? Because every day the coworker, she speaks to him. She's nice and sweet. He's like, oh man, she speaks every day, you know, blah blah blah. And then before you know it, now he's emotionally involved, and he's having this emotional fantasy or this lust, if you will, after this woman because she's doing what I miss my wife doing. But since my wife is not doing it, I got this right here in front of me, and it's happening every day. Well, let me just talk to her. Let me get to know her. And then before you know it, you get to know her, and now you're going to lunch with her. And before you know it, now you're going to lunch, and now you're lying to your wife telling you you have a job vacation you got to go to, but now you're on these little escapades. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many things that can leave our families torn and apart. And the spouses don't ask for that type of behavior. You know, and like you said earlier, Pastor Michelle, you said that sin feels good. Yeah, absolutely, it does. It feels good because it's satisfying the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Holy Spirit, just as we all know on the line, the Holy Spirit is what gonna convict us and let us know, hey, you're treading in deep water right now. You're treading in dangerous waters right now. You need to back away from that. You need to go ahead and flee. You need to change the topic. You need to go and you need. But the Lord will always give you a way to flee. But a lot of us just won't use it because why? We're too busy trying to satisfy that fleshly want, that emotional fantasy. So, I mean, I'm going to open up the line again if I have anyone else because I don't want to seem like I'm overbearing and talking too much on tonight. Do I have anybody else would like to add anything to the conversation? All right. Silence signifies that no one has anything to say. That's all good. Praise the Lord. So, again, it's very unfair, right? It's very unfair to the other person, the other spouse, right, that's just left in limbo wondering why am I feeling this way or why is he or she doing me this way. And you have to really take time and look at things and say, okay, Lord, you know, you gave me, I asked you for a spot. I prayed to you for her or I prayed to you for him, Lord, and now they're in my life. And you know, if there are things that he or she is not doing anymore that they used to do that really satisfied me and made me feel good, then you got to bring those things. I need your help, Lord, to bring those things back to the surface. Like you said, Pastor Michelle, communication, key. My wife, I'm going to tell y'all, right, and she's not on the line, you know, but she can attest to this because it's true. When me and my wife first got married, my wife is a body spray, after shower body spray fanatic. She loves them. It can be a million and one body sprays, and if one of them out of place, she know it ain't there. She gonna trip about that one body spray. You know what I'm saying? So she used to spray them, and I used to cough. I'd be like, man, I like the body spray, you know. And I used to complain about it when we first got married. Then my wife slowly started shying away from it, and then she stopped wearing them all together. She'll spray a little perfume on here and there, but she stopped wearing those body sprays. And then one day the Lord brought back to my attention. I was like, man, it's just something different that I'm missing about my honey. And then I thought about it. I said, Lord, I got to apologize to her. And then I brought it back to the forefront. I apologized to her. I said, babe, you remember how I used to trip about you, you know, wearing those body sprays and stuff like that? I said, honey, I really miss those days. I said, because you used to smell so sweet and good. I miss those days. Guess what my honey bunch do now? She sprayed them body sprays back on. So, see, it's a way you can bring it back out. And I tell y'all now, God is my witness. I will never complain about that body spray again. I will never complain about that body spray again because it's just that one little instant where you're complaining or you're not getting what you used to get, and then now you're frustrated. But then you wind up going outside of the home and seeing things that are bringing back memories because why? We're attached to those familiar spirits, those familiar places, those familiar smells, those familiar scents. It's things that bring back to our remembrance, you know, things that we used to do, the used to days. And a lot of people love to reminisce, but I like to reminisce about me and my wife. I like to reminisce about the good times, things we used to do, you know, whereas some people don't think about that. They just like, oh, man, I remember, you know, I used to be a player, blah, 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 and then let me see if I still got it, you know, because my wife tripping. She ain't even dressing up for me no more. but so and so at work dressing up. Let me try to throw some game at her, see if she'll go to lunch with me. And then now you're going to lunch, and then they're going to downfall a man. And now your wife is hurt for no reason. But when she probably just as I said before, she probably just got set in her ways because of life, because life will have us set into a pattern schedule to where we know every morning I got to get up, make sure the kids are up school, make sure they have breakfast, make sure they get on the bus at a certain time. I got to be to work at this time. Before I get to work, I got to make sure I stop by Starbucks and get me a cup of coffee because I got to have my coffee in the morning. And now your spouse is being neglected. You know, I mean, it's just all things that ties into that. So those emotional fantasies, if you have them, I ask that you pray to God about delivering you from those emotional fantasies that you're having about somebody else. And if you're having them with your spouse and these things that your spouse is not doing anymore, bring it back to the forefront. My wife likes me to dress up, you know, and she likes to see me dress nice pair of slacks. I might have a tie. She loves the way I cut my hair. I smell good. Sometimes I cut my mustache off because, you know, I mess up, y'all. And she get mad about that thing because I cut it off, because she tell me I look like a prisoner or something because I got my mustache cut off. So I have to hurry up and let that thing grow back and, you know, trim it back up because that's what my honey likes. Yeah, that's what she likes. And I have to make sure I continue to do and satisfy her that way.
And then, Pastor Kenny, may I say something?
Yes, ma'am. You sure can. Okay.
And I want everyone out there that's listening on the phone and listening on the internet, the radio, whatever, however you're listening. First, I'm going to talk to the men. Men, when you begin to fantasize about these women that are not your wife, when she goes home, that long, luscious hair, it comes off. When she washes her face, there are dark spots on her face. When she pops those toenails off, there's some that have no nail, and some of them are black. She still has gas that comes from her rear end. Her house may be nasty. So you don't even know fully what you are getting when you're fantasizing. You see the flesh. Women, these men can look good, smell good, and their tail could be right raunchy. We don't know that. It's safer to be in the confines of your own home, which you know that God gave you, than to go out there. And let me tell you something, just because they look good, smell good, we don't know what's brewing in on the inside of their body, what kind of diseases they may hold, or whatever else they can give you, whatever else. So let's be mindful of these things. That's the first thing I wanted to share with you. The second thing, I'm going to touch this, Pastor Kenny, and you can probably run with it. Us women, we love to read what I call romance novels. Romance novels. How many of us women have read the romance novels and be like, "Ooh, I wish my husband, and then you go and you close the pages on a book, and then you mad at your husband because he's not doing what Fabian is doing. It's written in a book for a reason. Your husband is a reality. I've seen women get mad at their husbands. I used to, so I know what I'm talking about. I had to stop reading romance novels. Because I expected things a certain way, like it was in the book, that Mr. Page had no idea I was expecting. And so we have to remember there's all kind of ways these fantasies, and let's call them what they are. Lust, iniquity. Mm-hmm. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it spade a spade.
That's right.
And all these things could be setting in, and you looking at, and the raunchiest, he's looking good or she looking good on the outside, and slap ball as soon as that front lace, nice glue come off, and you thinking it's real. So come on, somebody. Makeup is good, trust me. I have seen some people put that makeup on, and they go from looking like Harriet Tubman to Halle Berry. All with makeup. So let's not be caught up in the flesh. Look at the heart. Look at who God gave you, who he designed just for you. I mean, it was a design. And truth be told, if you're out there and you got this other man or this other woman and you're spending this time, it's only but a season. If you really saw who they were, would you really want them? That goes, again, and I'm referring to my mama, you better be careful because the grass ain't greener on the other side. And then as I got older, I said, look at that grass over there. It's green, but it's artificial turf. It ain't even real.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just, you know, we got to be, come on now. I just wanted to throw that out there, Pastor Kenny. You know about the romance novels and what we see may not be what we actually see. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to kind of touch on that a little bit.
Well, I feel you, because I appreciate you for giving me that, you know, that in the topic. And ladies, let's just keep it real. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. Y'all know it's based on hereditary genes. There are men out there, you know, that had a half crown, what I call it, right? They had a half crown, you know, the LIG, to let it go, and they don't want to let it go. So now what they're doing, they're getting this glue up there, and they got these women putting these little top pieces on their head, making it look like they got a head full of curly hair. When they really don't. Don't be deceived. All right, these emotional fantasies can draw you in, and not only draw you in, but cause you to sin. These emotional lusts can cause you to sin. And that's the downfall of man right there. That's the downfall of mankind right there. That lust, that sin, that's what separates us from the presence of God. Now, I can't remember this lady's name. It's an author, black author. She writes these nice little romance novels that I used to have a lot of coworkers. They used to come to work, even males. Males used to come to work talking to females about these books. And they used to come and talk about this book, she did this or he did that. And you know what I'm saying? I can't even get my wife to do this. I can't even get my wife to do that. Don't be worried about all of that. What you do, like you said before, Pastor Michelle, what you do to get them, you got to do to keep them. But you got to enhance it. You know, and if you're doing it too much, then it eventually going to get worn out and ain't nobody going to be like, you get me flowers every time. You know, every Friday you get me flowers. This time, instead of getting the flowers, right, you take her out, you know, and you take her out to a field full of flowers, you know, and say none of these flowers out here in this field compares to you, because they die. But you're my queen. You know, you got to bring them into reality, because when you do that, that's when you're encouraging one another. The lust doesn't have a time to creep into your marriage. The enemy has no piece of leeway or hedgeway to come into your marriage and cause destruction, because just as we all know, the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And emotional fantasies are definitely one of his key players in marriages that are destroying marriages in this day and age. And it's just not fair. It's just unfair to the other spouse.
Do
I have anyone else
right.
that has anything else to add to it?
I have something to say. And listening to you all, you got some good points there.
Mm-hmm.
But also what I was thinking of, anybody that take care of flowers, they know you got to nurture those flowers. You got to give them food. You got to add water to them and watch them grow. What
mm-hmm.
happens is, I'm going to speak on marriages now. When the babies start coming, it makes a change in the marriage and you become parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that throws the romance out of the winter. But you got to remember, you got to keep the romance in the marriage, because first you were lovers before you became parents.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
If you keep that in mind and continue to keep the youth in the marriage, then it'll keep you together. I'm not going to tell you you won't have disagreements, but the Bible tells you to bring peace before you close your eyes at night.
Yes, ma'am.
It doesn't take a whole lot to keep that loving relationship. Sometimes a woman just wants to be held, to just say, cuddle me just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Take a walk on the sunny side of the road one day. You know, come on, babe, let's go down by the seashore. Do you remember how you used to hold hands? I see older people when they're walking the street, and it is so cute seeing them holding hands up, hugging each other. You see the romance. So it's important that you keep the romance in the marriage, in the relationship, and everything else. It's going to be all right. But remember, you were lovers before you became parents. And see, that's what happened. When kids start coming, then it's like you get too busy.
Yep.
Getting busy then because they think, you know, you're tired at the end of the day.
My God.
You're tired at the end of the day, but still find 5 or 10 minutes to bring that romance back into that marriage.
Thank you, Michelle.
You know, that communication, that's the way to communicate. Continue to feed the relationship, feed the love, let the love grow. Don't let it diminish, let it grow. So add food, or what do they say? Add candle to the fire. Continue to do that. And I always said, Miss Michelle brought that out to whatever you did to get them. Do the same thing to keep. Same thing. And like you said, you told your wife that you like to smell good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like this, even though I'm single, I believe in smelling good for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody,
amen.
I'm going to do it for myself. You hear what I'm saying? I like to smell good for myself. Even if I'm not going outside that door, I want to smell good for myself. I want to look good for myself. And then it won't be no problem. But just remember that to feed the relationship and it'll blossom.
Hey, man, I agree with that. Mom, those are some good points. I'm telling y'all, I can't write fast enough. Y'all give me some good stuff. I think I heard two voices on the line. I heard you talking, Mom, and I heard somebody else. I'm not sure who that person is, but if whoever it was on the call, who is it?
I'd like to say something.
Okay. Hold on. Whoever's getting ready to talk now, somebody before you just said something. I can't catch the name. The caller. Go ahead, caller. I just heard someone say I like to say something. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that right now it seems like in society everyone is telling everyone you don't have to take this. And yes, people do deserve better in certain situations. You have to be changed, and you do have to get out of certain situations. But nobody takes anything anymore. Nobody is willing to work on things. Everybody thinks it's just going to be easy. Nobody is willing to go through something with someone. And we've got to learn how to do that. It's not just going to come easy. You want to be able to say my marriage was battle tested, you know, and we came through this together. People don't go through anything and they give up. Everybody's ready to give up on everything at the first sight of something wrong, or first sight they don't get along, or you know, or somebody says something that they don't like. You know, we need to learn how to take something, you know. Get a little thicker skin when it comes to certain things. And there should not be anything that, honestly, you can't say to your spouse.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that one. I totally agree with you on that. You should be able to talk with your spouse about anything. That's deep. That's good. That's good. All right. I think I had somebody else after the call. I think it was Jonelle. That was you that just spoke, ma'am. Who there? Hello? Callers, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you,
okay.
Pastor.
I thought I had hit muted. I'm sorry. I got a new caller just came in. Give me just a second, and then you can go ahead and speak as soon as I bring this caller in. I'm sorry. All right, caller in again 10-0135. Caller, you on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Keto, and sorry I'm late, but just came to get a little bit of good word before y'all shut it down for the night.
All right, brother. Hey, well, thank you for calling, man. We got about 35 more minutes left, man, so the line will be open, and if you have anything to add in, man, feel free to chime in.
Hey, everybody, I'm back. Hey, Keto, I was gone, had to go pick up my son. Baby, we don't actually have to talk, you know, the whole 35. I just extend the show just in case we go over 9 o'clock.
Got it. I got it, boo.
Yep.
Thank you, honey.
Huh?
Miss Faye, I think you was getting ready to say something. You getting ready to say something, Al? Miss Faye? All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and keep on. Last caller, that was definitely some very good and encouraging words. Mama, you gave some great feedback, great encouraging words as well. Pastor Michelle, you definitely gave some great feedback and encouragement as well. Keisha, you there? I think you might have had something to say. I thought I heard your voice too. I've been trying to catch all of the voices, but sometimes it's hard. Did you have something to say, ma'am?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. All right. So, again, callers, it's important, you know, to protect your marriage from this emotional fantasies or these emotional lusts, these sinful desires and sinful natures that are easy to attach themselves to you or your spouse. All right. Continue to love the one you're with, right? Not only love the one you're with, but if they're just not doing things that are not appeasing to your eyesight like they used to be, you know, they're not dressing up, they're not smelling good, you're not going on dates anymore, then you be the one to encourage. You be the one to come forth with it and bring it through, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, because y'all know we can speak nonverbally, and it says a lot when it comes to a marriage. If I hadn't held your hand in a while and I realize it, honey, I grab your hand. Don't ask me what's wrong with me. Just roll with it. You know, it's just important that we
sure
do so.
I sure will.
I know. I think I got a new colleague. Okay, we got another caller just came in. A caller. And again, 9562, you're on the air.
Hello, y'all. I'm like so late. This is Kyra. How are you doing? And I was like, no, I got to get on here before they end.
Hey there. How you doing, Kyra?
Hey, Kyra.
I'm fine. How y'all doing? Hey, y'all. I'm
hey,
extra late.
All right.
But I had to get in. This is a great topic.
Amen. Glory be to God. So do I have anyone else that will have anything they'd like to add to the call?
Well, Pastor Kenny, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, here's my question. We're talking about emotional, you know, we're talking about fantasies and stuff. So my question is this: if one of the spouses, and the truth of the matter is, it could be both spouses, it could be both husband and wife. The man could be thinking about a woman could be thinking about a man. Would you consider that in the bedroom, and they're thinking about someone else, they're pretty much inviting another person in their bedroom? So would that be a unbeknownst three-way or four-way or? Without, you know, isn't that testing the limits of infidelity? I mean, just adultery on all kind of levels. Don't you think that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good question.
Because
absolutely.
Then you're going to be opening up. Because I would think, you know, in the world, that's why a lot of marriages fail, because they done had somebody else in their bedroom, and 9 times out of 10, the woman done fantasize about the person or the man has. And now they brought him in, and now, like Leandra said, they're not willing to just work it out with one-on-one, and now you're in divorce court.
That's real. That's so true. That happens, and it happens. And you know, there used to be points where men and women, right, used to have their little lust, and Nia Long is my baby, Halle Berry, that's my boo. You know, that's my wife outside of my wife. You know, that's my wife outside of marriage. You know, women used to lust over Denzel Washington and Morris Chestnut and Shamar Moore and all of that. So you're right. These things right here, there are women that actually take these people, that they fantasize and they lust over, and they take them into the bedroom with them. And that right there is sinful, and it's infidelity, and it's adultery on every level you can possibly think of. Mom, you had something you were getting ready to say?
No, I would disagree.
Okay.
Sounds like Pastor Michelle was still talking, then I want to say something to her.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, to end that up, so you would cause your spouse to cheat without knowing that they've cheated.
Wow.
That's
now,
dangerous.
Amen, I'm done.
Oh.
That's danger right there.
It is. And what I wanted to say is, I wanted to touch on what you just talked about, Pastor Michelle, and it was Sister Leandria. And I don't know what else. I heard from the text messages, I don't miss a lot. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the replay.
Praise the Lord. I got to re-listen to. That's good.
But what I would like to say is, I completely agree that that is infidelity, and you are bringing a third party into the bedroom. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got my neighbor's kids. My neighbor's baby. You are bringing a third party into the bedroom, unbeknownst to your spouse. But with that, there is something, a lot of people think that those things are innocent. You know, looking at, like you said, Kenny Morris Chestnut, Denzel, and, you know, lusting over them, people really think that's innocent. We used to go to a church, and the bishop, he would say this over the pulpit. He's been married for years. But he would say, it's okay to look as long as you ain't touching.
Sure did.
You
I remember
can
that.
Look, you can look. Well, that's the wrong teaching. You don't teach. That's not what you tell people. And so people that are listening to him and, you know, respecting him as their leader don't know any better. They're going to think what he's saying is okay. Why? Because that's what he did. He even told us that he did it.
Yep.
You know, like his ex-girlfriend and all of this and how he still, you know, all of these type of, but that's not okay. It's not okay to look at somebody and do all of that. Because that is lusting, and if you've done it in your mind, then you've already committed the act.
I was just about to look at you.
That is not okay. And then we have to put ourselves, and I think we've discussed this before on the show. Maybe I think we have, but anyway, it's always good to revisit. But we have to put ourselves in our spouse's position. Now, okay, I'm doing that over Shamar Moore or whatever, but then Kenny's doing it over Nia Long, and I'm offended. Well, if I don't want him to do it, then I don't need to be doing it because it's disrespectful. That's just what it is.
It is.
It's one thing to say, oh, she's a beautiful woman. I think she's beautiful. That's completely different, you know. You can say that, but when you got all this, man, if I wasn't married, what I would do, to all that kind of stuff, no, you just have gone to a whole nother level.
Absolutely.
And so the thing is, people have to know that that is not okay. That is wrong, it is disrespectful, and it is not okay to be, you know, yeah, we all look, but to look like they talk about looking, no, that's not okay. That
Absolutely.
Is not okay. And also I think, you know, although a lot of us, you know, may did not, going back to, you know, being in the bedroom, a lot of us probably, you know, didn't wait before we got married or whatever, but that is why I also think it is important to wait to be sexually involved before you get married, because you have soul ties. And when you get married, if you don't know about that stuff, you're taking all that stuff into your marriage with you. And that God has to break those things and deliver you from those things, because, you know, you've had experiences before. And so it is, you know, being married all these years, I see why, you know, my mom taught, like I said last show, it's not that she didn't teach us the right way, because God knows she did, you know. But I didn't go that way. I chose not to go that way. But it is important, you know, for people that haven't, because I do know people that are saving themselves from marriage, or, you know, have not, engaged, you know, with any had, you know, had a sexual experience. And I think that is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
If they have slipped up, you know, and done it or whatever, they married that person, and then society will make them feel like, girl, you don't miss out. Don't you think you need to, you know, experience? No, you don't. No, you don't.
That's
no,
right.
You don't. No, you don't. You're trying
right.
to get to the same end. No, you don't. And it's a lot better when you marry. Your God's blessing is on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're emotionally attached. You know, it's a feeling you can't even describe when
hey,
you're married.
Come on now, somebody.
Kidding,
come
on. compared to when you're not. So, you know, I just
want to. It's a gift. I'm sorry, Mama. Let me correct myself. I had to realize. I'm
what
sorry.
You mean? Tell her she don't train us up in the word. She not. She be telling us.
God created it for the bedroom between a husband and a wife, and that's the only
Amen.
Way it's going to be acceptable. And when
Amen.
He did it in a holy way.
So, yes, he
right.
did.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, it's time to get out of that stinking way of thinking and thinking that I'm married, you know, and just because I'm, you know, hey, just because I'm on a diet, meaning I'm married, don't mean I can't look at the menu. No, stay away from that menu.
Your wife is your menu. Your
you
husband is your menu. That's your menu.
You better see it. And that's the menu you should be checking out every day.
That's right. Oh, I did have something else to say. I wanted to also piggyback off of what Sister Leandra said. You know, it is important that, because this is a microwave fix generation, and we go into marriages these days preparing for divorce.
Mm.
Pastor Michelle and I were talking about that the other day. Well, if it don't work, I'll just, you know, just
I'm
get
young.
Divorced and I can marry somebody else. We don't go in willing to go through. We don't go in. Look, long-suffering is one of the fruit of the Spirit for a reason. And sometimes you're going to suffer long in some things in marriage. That's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to understand that there's a balance. Yes, there's sometimes that you have to let things go. You know, if it's a volatile relationship and your life is on the line, that's not the kind of thing you need to stay in.
That's right.
You know, but there are things where we give up on our marriage, and then in a sense we're giving up on God, because if we're believing God to change some things, there's just some things, you know, that we really go through for a while and God will change. And then there are some things about our spouses that we have to learn to accept, like our spouses have to learn to accept things about us. And so we cannot be so quick, but I see that a lot in, you know, in this generation. I don't have to deal with this, and they do, and they go in already prepared to divorce, ready to divorce. You know, I see the young lady saying, I'm not about to cook him no meal. I don't care about that. You know, those days are over. You know, you can have your own career. You can have as many degrees as you want, but at least know how to cook him some bacon and eggs. Ain't nobody asking for nothing fancy. At least know how to do it, even if you don't know how to do it, or be willing. That's the thing. Some men just want you to be willing, but they'll just say, I'm not gonna do that. And I mean, just have this whole big old issue in the marriage because you don't want to get over your pride and just say, well, at least I'll learn how to do a little something. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I'm going to stop because the baby crying. So, I'm finished, babe.
That's good. That's good. I like my scrambled eggs with cheese. Hallelujah. I love them.
Mm.
With some bacon on the side. Let me stop. But callers, look, you know, I appreciate everyone for calling on tonight. And I thank you all for participating. I thank you for calling in. I mean, because it's so important for us not only to see and not feel like we're the only ones going through a certain issue. It's so important to get on the line and be on the line with people that have gone through things that you may have gone through. So callers, please, I encourage you, share the site with people. Let them know the blog talk shows we're airing every Tuesday and Friday, you know, from 8 to 9 p.m., please just let them know. We're looking forward to hearing and seeing more callers call in and be able to share on the topics that we have coming. We have more topics coming, and, of course, you all know that every Friday we have, you know, our Free Flow Friday, and that's where you call in. We talk about some things, and we keep it real. We keep it 100, and we're making sure that everybody else gets off the line, and everybody's not only encouraged and empowered, but they also have a life-changing, they have a life-changing event in their life, which means that they have somebody that they can talk to, and they don't have to feel, you know, judged or feel like, man, you know, why did I even call in? Call in. We looking forward to hearing you call in. But, again, callers, we love you all, and we thank you again for calling in.
Baby, I want to say one thing. Hold
sure,
on.
Honey. Go
and
ahead.
I just encourage, you know, I'm talking to the women now. And I know a lot, you know, I know we probably do this, but for those of us that are not or for those of us that are, just continue to mentor younger women, even if, you know, like Keisha, you're not married right now, but you know, there's some things that you can help some people with, whether you think so or not. You can.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see them saying certain things or doing certain things, you know, let's pull them to the side, talk to them, you know, talk to them in love, give it to them the right way. And for the men, you know, you all do that for the young guys. But teach them the right way, because these marriages are failing. The enemy is taking out marriages, and when he takes out marriages, he's taking out children. And so we have to fight for not just our marriages, but for marriages, just for the marriages. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen. So callers, again, thank you all for calling in. We pray that you have a blessed remainder of the week. God bless you. We love you. And we ask that everybody have a good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.